Bayless to Toomey for 53 yards, and that set up a 44-yard touchdown scamper by Corbett after that. And with a two-point conversion, Heath was up 14-7. After a muff punt, Valley got right back into the ball game. They were at the Heath Bulldog 15-yard line, but the Bulldog defense was having to force Valley to settle for a 32-yard field goal. That made it 14-10. Then a 12-play, 77-yard drive by Heath, a 37-yard pass from Bayless to Corbett. Then Bayless took it in from 9 yards out, and that made it 21-10. And then right before the half, you could say it was the dagger, as a 10-play, 81-yard march was capped off by Bayless going for a 6-yard touchdown pass to McIntyre with only 4 seconds to go before halftime, and that made it 27-10. Valley did cut the lead to 27-17 on a Trenton Marcus 1-yard touchdown run in the third quarter, but Heath was able to answer with a couple of scores, make it 3 scores on their next 3 possessions, a 2-yard run by Corbett, the 48-yard touchdown run by Royster, and a 10-yard run by Bayless, making the final 47-16. So Heath moves to 2-0, and they will host Creston Norwayne from Northeast Ohio coming up this Friday at Swain Field. It'll be our high school football game of the week here on Kate 98.7. The pregame will be at 6:45 and the kickoff at 7 p.m. For Licking Valley, this tough schedule does continue for the Panthers. They do return home, but it will be a tough one as they take on Millersburg West Holmes, a team that has been on a roll the last few years with several postseason appearances and deep runs in the playoffs. The Panthers will host West Holmes next Friday night at Randy Boffman Field. Lakewood, they had a bunch of points in their first game, just not able to slow down West Muskingum, but they were able to rally and get their first win on the year last Friday night at home, as they were able to defeat Liberty Union by a final of 28-23. Adam Crawford, again, one of the best outstanding players we have in the county. He had a touchdown pass and 2 rushing touchdowns to lead Lakewood to get their first victory on the season. And on the third drive of the game, Lakewood was able to get the ball downfield, and Crawford had a 38-yard pass to Xander Angle for the first touchdown, which gave Lakewood the early lead. A field goal by Liberty Union cut that lead in half, but Isaiah Mitchell, another standout for the Lancers, he got a kickoff return to midfield, and the offense just did not slow down. A 27-yard pass by Crawford, and Mitchell then put up a run to the 12-yard line. He followed it up with a 12-yard scamper, and it was 14-3 Lakewood. Liberty Union was able to get right back in the ballgame and actually took the lead in the second half on a 10-yard touchdown run, but Lakewood's offense came right back with Crawford going in from 8 yards out to put the Lancers up 21-17. Back and forth we went, as Liberty Union came right back and was able to get a touchdown pass from 19 yards out, and that made it 23-21. And Lakewood was on the move again, but they were able to stop them with the Lancers' defense, and that allowed Lakewood to get a couple of more touchdowns, Crawford breaking loose with a 20-yard touchdown run. That put it away, and Lakewood gets the victory by a final of 28-23. So Lakewood now is 1-1 on the season, and they will travel to Bexley on Friday to take on the Bexley Lions, a team that is also 1-1 on the season. The Granville Blue Aces, we've talked a lot about their offense over the last few years, but it's time that defense gets a lot more recognition. So far this year, they've given up 1 touchdown in 2 games, and that's after Friday night going on the road and getting a hard-fought victory over Belleville Clear Fork by a final of 15-0 to move to 2-0 on the season. Dante Verasso, he got an interception in game one against Marion Franklin, which led to the go-ahead touchdown by Granville to go to their 27-8 victory. He did it again at Clear Fork, as he had a one-handed interception in the first quarter, and that set up a 29-yard touchdown run by Beckett Long to give Granville the lead, which of course they would never give up in the shutout victory. Granville's defense got another turnover as well, and that led to a 39-yard touchdown, and then Noah Music getting his 3rd field goal on the season, a 35-yard field goal to get the victory. So the last 2 years, Granville and Clear Fork, it's been 16-8 and 15-0, both in favor of the Blue Aces, and they get that big road victory winning on Friday night. So they are 2-0, and their next opponent That would be the Johnnies of Johnstown, who got win number one last Friday night on the road at Coshocton, a high-scoring affair. The final was 50-36, Johnstown coming out on top. Kaylin Lindsay, not one, not two, not three, not four, five touchdowns on the night, including one with 6 seconds to go, which gave Coshocton the lead at 43-36, and then a final trick play, Hail Mary play, whatever you want to call it at the end. The Johnnies were able to return that on the game's final play to give the 14-point cushion. Lindsay, what a night. 39 carries, and you remember how hot and humid it was this past Friday. That didn't slow him down. Of those 39 carries, 224 yards he was able to pick up along with those five touchdowns. Sam Marisak added 131 yards on 17 carries and also had a touchdown with a two-point conversion. Great job by Job Hockendattle leading the Johnstown defense. He had eight tackles, including three for loss, and McKaden Thomas added six tackles as well. So Coach Mike Carter and the Johnnies off the snide getting the victory at Coshocton. And as we mentioned, they host Granville Friday night. Utica. After week one, they were not able to get an offensive touchdown, which really did surprise a lot of people. Their only score was on a kickoff return. That was not the case this past Friday, as they were just blowing out Loudonville, getting revenge for a tough loss last year, 18-13. It was no problem for Utica this time around. 49-7, they defeat Loudonville. Hayden Piper had 169 yards in the air and three touchdowns, throwing touchdown passes of 18 and 24 yards to the outstanding wide receiver Gavin Chin and 39 yards to Hunter McKinley. Justin Giffen, he ran for 171 yards, including touchdown runs of 68 and 80 for Utica as they got back in a big way. And that offense is going to score points this year. Make no mistake about it. That's not the last time you're going to see these numbers. And if they're able to continue to balance the run and the throw, it could be a very special year in Northern Licking County. Also, their defense came up big. Grayson Tayo returned an interception for a score. Chase Bennett and Aiden Burgess both had 4.5 tackles, with Burgess getting 2 tackles for loss. So congratulations to Utica. This will be a big one coming up for them at home on Friday. They take on Fredericktown, a very good team, a team that's also 1-1. This is maybe one of those games that could catapult Utica moving forward and getting to the plus side of 500 if they can get their second victory in 3 games. The Northridge Vikings, they've had a couple of really close games. Their defense has been outstanding. They lost to East Knox in week one, 14-0. And a tough one to Fredericktown, who we just talked about, falling 19-17. So much better job on offense for Northridge in game number two, and the defense continues to play well. Cameron Brannigan, he led the Vikings. He had 99 yards on 22 carries and added a touchdown. Dylan Chambers added 52 yards on 12 carries, and Drew Bingham had a touchdown run. Charlie Kincaid kicked a field goal for Northridge, and Riley Wheeler had 8.5 tackles, including 3 for loss. So Northridge still looking to get their first win under new head coach Dustin Calhoun, and I'm going to make the prediction they're going to get it this Friday. I believe that Northridge will at home upset undefeated Grandview Heights. I hope I'm right, because that Viking team, they deserve a victory. They've played hard enough to get a victory, and hopefully they will get it Friday night when they host Northridge. Good one this past Friday night at Watkins Memorial between the Warriors and Thornville Sheridan. And it was Caden Sheridan who led the way for the Generals. He had a couple of touchdown passes on fourth down, lifting the Generals to their 24-19 hard-fought victory at Watkins Memorial. Watkins last year was able to come from behind to defeat Sheridan, but this time it was the Generals getting out to a lead and holding on to defeat Watkins to move the Warriors to 1-1 on the season. Sheridan, they led 17-6 at halftime and then was able to get the victory. As they do year in and year out, it's running the football. That's the key to when Thornville Sheridan is going to get it done. But now Sheridan's quarterback, Mr. Sheridan, is also able to complete big plays on big downs, including an 18-yard touchdown pass on 4th and 11 to A.J. Winders. And then to senior Bryson Ruff on a 2nd and 17, he had a 19-yard connection as well. And at the end, it was a 22-yard pass on 4th down to Evan Anderson, which was the clincher with just about 3.5 minutes to go, and that was the difference in the game. So Sheridan moves to 2-0. Watkins is 1-1, and they will play host to Taze Valley this Friday night at home. Rough one for Licking Heights on the road, taking on a very good Tri-Valley team who had a heartbreaking loss to DeSales in week one. They came home and took it to the Hornets by a final of 42-7. For Tri-Valley, Jaden Wallace, 138 yards in the first half, finished with 168 for the game, and truly touchdowns of 5, 12, 5, and 24. And Tri-Valley was just able to pound and really dominate the line of scrimmage, and that was the difference in the game, as they only had to pass 9 times, but 2 of those went for touchdowns of 4 and 25 yards. The Hornets got their touchdown late in the ball game, a 25-yard touchdown pass from Jackson Brewer. And that was the difference in the game there, 42-7, Tri-Valley wins it. So Licking Heights, it does not get any easier for them. They host the Chieftains of Belle Fountain this Friday night. That team also 1-1, but they've lost to Coldwater, and they have one of the top quarterbacks, not just in the state, but in the country as well, Ohio State recruit Taylor St. Clair, who has moved up to, a lot of people think, maybe one of the top 3 quarterbacks as a junior in the country. So that will be a tough one for Licking Heights. Newark Catholic was trying to get their first win on the season. And on the road, they went down to Athens County to take on the Buckeyes of Nelsonville York. And Nelsonville was able to get the victory 21-9 to put Newark Catholic at 0-2 to start the season. The Green Wave had their opportunities, including in the first half when they were at the 1-yard line, but were unable to punch it in and had to settle for a 25-yard field goal by Jose Lopez, which gave them the 3-0 lead, and it stayed that way until later on in that second quarter when Landon Inman from the Buckeyes was picking off a Miller Hutchinson pass, took it to the house for 47 yards, and Nelsonville York led 7-3 and never did relinquish that lead. They were able to push it to 14-3 on a 21-yard touchdown on a 4th-and-1 with 7:15 to go in the third quarter by Gavin Richards. So 14-3, the Green Wave offense finally got clicking and got a 1-yard quarterback sneak from Hutchinson, making it 14-9 as the 2-point conversion did not go their way. But then Nelsonville York came right back with a 5.5-minute drive, Richards with another 9-yard touchdown run, and that made the final 21-9. So Newark Catholic will be looking for their first victory of the season. They have their home opener. It's not easy. Another tough one coming up as they take on Columbus Academy at Whitefield. And the last game we wanted to hit on was the game you heard right here on Tate 98.7 this past Friday night. And what a ball game it was, as the Newark Wildcats moved to 2-0 with a victory over Mount Vernon by a final of 35-28, moving to 2-0 on the season. The first time they've done that since 2016. Still Meister, 5 touchdown passes, setting a school record in the victory, as the Wildcats got off to a great start. Opening possession, they score. It made it 7-0. Mount Vernon came right back and tied it at 7-7, but then Newark was able to go up to a 21-7 lead on a couple more touchdown passes, including on 4th down that Meister was able to hit. But right before the half, Mount Vernon was able to get another touchdown, a 37-yard touchdown run by Johnny Askew, who we'll talk about in a second. That made it 21-14. Mount Vernon got the ball to start the second half, went right down the field, and was able to score on a touchdown pass from Mullins to their backup quarterback, and it was 21-all. And then after a 3-and-out, Mount Vernon had the ball at their 4-yard line. In the blink of an eye, led by Askew with a couple of huge runs, down the field they went, and they took the lead 28-21. That play march was 10 plays, 96 yards. But Newark, they responded, as Meister found Peterson for 34 yards, then a 11-yard touchdown pass to sophomore Preston Lunsford. That tied the game at 28 as we went to the fourth quarter. And that's where the excitement just continued, as Newark was able to have a huge defensive stop. There weren't a lot in that ball game, but that was a big one. And they were able to drive down Meister to Lunsford one more time, 7 yards out. with 8 minutes to go, and that was the difference, 35-28. Newark gets the victory. Meister was 18 of 25 for 205 yards, as I mentioned, the five touchdowns, and also ran the ball for 68 yards. So that's total offense of 273 by your senior quarterback. The reason I bring that up is Mount Vernon's running back, Johnny Askew, was just as impressive. He had 249 yards of total offense with touchdowns as well. So the two standouts definitely showed up at Whitefield and gave all that they could. But it really was the Newark defense coming up with some big plays in that second half and stopping Mount Vernon when they had to. And then the Newark offense responding when they were down to get that victory 35-28. So they move to 2-0 on the season. And on the road they go next this Friday night to Marion Harding to take on the Presidents in what should be a very good ball game and the chance for Newark to move to 3-0. And speaking of the Cats, when we come back here on the Licking County Locker Room, we'll speak to head coach Bill Franks and quarterback Steele Meister. That's next here from the Ship Brothers Brewing Company, downtown Newark, on the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our health care technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
Power and versatility. The Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort. And your choice of a 30 by 15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. And rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Sainsville or online at LashleyTractor.com.
Stop into the toy store and upgrade your ride with epic savings on Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. This is Jeff Ward, and now through September 30th, you can save on select Polaris Razor, Ranger, Sportsman, and General models, with financing options as low as 1.49% APR for qualified buyers. There's no better time to take home a Polaris off-road vehicle. Explore the impressive Polaris lineup during our Upgrade Your Ride sales event at the toy store. Polaris, think outside.
Terms and conditions apply. Not all will qualify for financing rates. See dealer for details. Driver must be at least 16 years old with a valid driver's license to operate.
Now's the time to place your Varsity Jacket order. The earlier, the better. For more than 20 years, All-Star Embroidery in Newark has been Varsity Jacket headquarters for schools all over Licking County. Trust their experts to help you through the whole process, from sizing to application. All steps are handled in-house, which means faster turnaround and no surprise pricing. All-Star Embroidery, 21st Street in Newark, and online at allstarembroidery-ltd.com. allstarembroidery-ltd.com.
Desserts Bakery, for over 8 years, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, Buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath, directly across from Wyon Avenue. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Searching for a treasure? A special trading card? How about a video game? Buckeye Games and Flea Market is the place to visit. The video game and toy section will shock you. Visit the large flea market in the back, where you'll find many vendors. You're sure to find that special treasure. New items daily. Shop early for Christmas at Buckeye Games and Flea Market, 857 South 30th Street in Heath. Open 7 days a week.
Do you have a positive attitude and enjoy working in a fun-filled environment? Park Lanes Bowling Center is now immediately hiring full and part-time positions for all departments. If you think you have what it takes to work in fun, food, sports, and spirits, drop off your resume today at 701 Hopewell Drive. Bowling guests are here to have fun, and it's our job as a team to make sure they are happy guests. Join our team today at Park Lanes Bowling Center, 701 Hopewell Drive in Newark.
Hughes Designer Jewelers is excited to announce their new fashion line. Ivaca Tour comes to life with vivid colors, sleek modern designs, stunning prints, and abstract watercolors. The Ivaca Tour line at Hughes Designer Jewelers is 100% American-made, women-owned, and handcrafted by art-driven jewelers. Cuffs, necklaces, and earrings hand-gilded with 22-karat gold leaf. With so many options, you'll find the perfect piece. Visit Hughes Designer Jewelers, the place for unique, quality jewelry in downtown Newark.
The Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And welcome back to the Licking County Locker Room. Happy to be joined by Newark head coach Bill Franks and senior quarterback Steele Meister. I got a ton that I could ask either one of you after Friday night and the start. So I guess, first of all, the magic number is 35 so far this year. You got 35 against Zanesville, 35 against Mount Vernon. Steele, I'll start with you. Of what you thought this offense could do in the preseason and where you think, I mean, have they hit the expectations, or do you think this there's more this offense could be doing right now?
Yeah, we've hit the expectation, but we also have a lot more in store. I mean, every week, every day, we're always trying to get 1% better. That's like a big motto that we have, is get 1% better and you're only as good as your next rep. And I think if we attack every day with a mindset that we have more in store, then yeah, we got a lot left in us.
Coach, when we talked last week, and you talked about how this started about 3 years ago in the building process, the trust and the belief that these players had in each other and the coaching staff, after two victories against two arch rivals that you've needed some success against, that you've been able to accomplish that and rally in each of these games, what's your thought about this ball club? I know we got 8 games to go, but what do you like about this
club? We've tried to keep things simple and consistent. And, you know, I think we believe in each other. I think the players, you know, believe in their peers, and I believe they believe in the coaches. And I think they see their coaches are intense and organized, but they also see that we interact, you know, in an appropriate manner. But when we cross the lines, we're ready to go. And, you know, we've been able to have some expectations for the players, and the players have responded.
The confidence level that the team has, again, being down by multiple touchdowns in that first game against Zanesville, and then last week, you're playing a Mount Vernon team that is playing as hard as they can. I mean, they thought they could win that football game, and they were battling you guys. But again, to rally in each one of those games, what does that say about the club?
Well, these kids come from a culture of winning, and in their other sports, and their families, you know, believe in Newark, and hard work works, and they just have come up in a program in a lot of the sports, and now including football, where there's high expectations, high support, and we try to play the best, and we try to constantly analyze, what we can do better.
I know I'm probably not going to get the answer I'm looking for here from you. I'm going to ask both of you this question because it is a team game. I totally get that. But you came in as the high-profile guy for Friday night. Mount Vernon's Johnny Askew came in as the high-profile guy for them. And both stars delivered, which sometimes doesn't happen. But they both had over 250 yards of total offense. And I don't want to say, okay, Johnny did something, so you felt you had to do something. But to see a guy on the other, you know, on the other opponents do what he did that kind of creep in that, okay, he's made a play, I've got to make a play?
I mean, yeah, we both have competitive spirits, and that's something that the coaches instill in us with competition throughout practice and stuff like that. So naturally we have a competitive instinct to go after one another, but, you know, we see someone across the field making plays, and we feel it's our duty to make plays too, and that's just kind of the way sports are.
He is a special player, though, for Mount Vernon, isn't
he? Yeah, he's really talented. Really talented.
And a multi-sport athlete.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he took a licking, and he kept coming back. Mm-hmm. And played hard to the end. Yeah, it was their staff and their kids are to be commended. That was a quality game.
And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the defensive changed a little bit in that second half, where maybe you loaded up more in the box and tried to get to him.
Well, maybe not so much that. We have, you know, maybe a speed type package.
Okay.
Where we just have some more runners on the field, as opposed to the bigger bodies. It just depends on what style, you know, they're playing, and then you need to counterpunch with your, you know, type of students that you're playing. So I wouldn't say we loaded the box, but we, you know, just played our fast kids and a little bit more.
Steele, 5 touchdown passes. You're off to a great start in your senior year. The thing I like, though, is you really are spreading the ball around. And it seemed to us up in the press box, you were just saying, okay, Mount Vernon's given me this, and I'm just going to go to it. It didn't seem like you had to force a lot of the action. So is that, again, game preparation, or you going out there now as a senior and saying, I understand what I need to do here and not necessarily force something down the field? If they're given, if they're covering, you know, 10, 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, that's what I'm going to do.
Right, yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, the game has slowed down for me, but also Coach Saylor, my our offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, has really hit home on just taking what's there, and also the guys do their job. You know, the guys are running good routes, the line's locking, everyone's doing their 111th, so I'm trying to do my 111th as well.
And you're able to spread the ball. I mean, multiple guys
everyone,
getting touchdown
everyone
passes.
Can make plays. I mean, that's what's so great about this year. We're kind of building the chemistry, and back to practice, we're competing with each other, and that's really what helps guys develop better. Young guys we have are making plays for us, but that's because it goes back to practice, us competing.
So it's 28-21. Your 21-7 lead is gone. You get the ball after having a three and out, and they've taken the lead. What are you saying in the huddle at that point?
I'm telling them, you know, we go through adversity all the time. I mean, the week before, we were down 21-7. It's just keep playing, step by step, play by play. You can't win a game in one play. The defense has to do their job. They did their job, and then now it's our turn to go out and make plays, and we did that. And guys played with a little bit of confidence. We were down 21-7 before, and it's only one score now, so we got there and score, and good things start happening for us.
And then in that fourth quarter, they have a couple of penalties, and the defense just rose to the occasion. You guys go down and score, and Coach, I want to go back to his leadership, and he probably does this more than what I saw, but when you scored that touchdown, the pass, and then there was a little bit of delay for the extra point, you went up to every single lineman and patted them on the back, and I'm just saying, I've got trust that you are going to block who we need to block so this extra point does not get blocked.
Mm-hmm.
To me, those are just the intangibles that you get from a leader.
Timing sometimes is everything. And just, you know, saying the right thing at the right time. And Steele certainly has done that. And it's a bright light at the right time. And it's not fluffy. It's real. Yeah.
Well, and I think his play and your hard work, as well as the linemen and everything that they did, led to a couple of those personal foul penalties.
Mm-hmm.
The frustration was coming from the other team. They were trying to get the ball, and I think you guys got in their head a little bit mentally from how hard you were playing.
Yeah. We do that. We do things like that in practice a lot, where we're going at each other full speed, but one of our coaches says to take the emotion out of it. I mean, it's a physical battle, but take the emotion out of it. I mean, when you start playing with emotion, then that's when they are able to get in your head and things like that. And we stayed mature, and I think that was a big maturity game for us as a group, being able to deal with the guys that are trying to get in your head and things like that, and being able to block it out and move on and just play football without any emotion is a big step for us.
I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the crowd Friday night.
I've seen a lot of things. It's the kids. The kids are fun to watch.
Yep.
It's the facility. You know, it's second to none. It's, you know, our athletic director, Jeff Quackenbush, with the marketing of the tickets and the advertising and, you know, the band and the cheerleaders. It's truly a community event, and it was a special night.
And just how they really were in it from start to finish, because you felt a little bit of nervousness there in that third quarter, but when you guys again scored to tie it, I mean, that place really got loud from the middle of the third quarter on. How did that make you feel as a player down there?
As a player, it made me feel really good. I mean, you know, you have that community support behind you, and we feel it, and as a community in all sports. I mean, they're a super committed fan base, and us as players, I know myself, really appreciate it, and it means a lot to all of us, regardless of what sport we play.
When I talked to Coach earlier in the week for the pregame show, and he talked about how it's important to have the success, but also the interactions when you do different sports and like what you do. So do you have a different mentality, football to say basketball, or is it the same motor that runs each and every time?
It's the same motor. I mean, both of them, Coach Quackenbush and Coach Franks, both push me to be my best, and I think that that motor translates wherever I go, even in life, and that's something that they both do, and it's bigger than sports at the end of the day. I mean, it's how are you going to be as a person after sports, and I think that motor that they push in everyone really translates into life.
So he gets thrown into the fire as a quarterback as a sophomore. How have you seen him develop as not just a player, but just even as a as an individual?
You know, it's hard as a were you 15 when you started?
Yeah, 15.
I mean, 15 playing the best,
yeah.
And took some hits and would continue to get up and sometimes show a little frustration, but each week you could see that he did a more mature job of just pulling the guys together. And now, you know, he's been through a little bit of the suffer and he's faced the struggle, and now he quite frankly has a little strut. And they follow him, but he does a really nice job of staying level-headed and knowing that we're only as good as our next down, our next week, and our next play. He's very grounded, and our football team in general and our school is, you know, just very grounded, very level-headed. And we try to, as Steele had said, we've tried to, I don't know if it came from Coach Quackenbush or Warren Weber, but we read it somewhere where we talked, we always would say high school football is a game of emotion, and I've always been a coach that's known for that, but we've tried to really step back from it and say, hey, let's take the emotion out of it. And I almost, it's been helpful.
I think so, and the poise that he has shown, because
yeah.
I remember doing some games at the sophomore level, and a couple times you wanted to take him out, depending on the situation or the hits, and you'd fight tooth and nail. I don't know if you tried to ignore him or what the case was, but the poise that really you have developed, that we've just seen it over the 3 years, the coaching staff should take a lot of pride in that, but you as just maturing,
mm-hmm.
I think you should take a lot of pride in that. And now as a leader with, let's talk about the rest of the senior class, because
right.
It's not a huge senior
mm-hmm.
class, but you guys as captains, four of you I believe as captains, and the rest, what are you trying to install now for, you don't want this to end, but it's at some point,
right.
What are you trying to install for the group that's going to come back next year and the year after that?
Well, we got 10 guys that are really committed, and we had, what would you say, 8 to 10 guys last year?
Mm-hmm.
8 to 10 guys that were just as committed as we are this year, and I think that senior leadership and junior leadership and every leadership matters, especially by when we're gone. We want to leave a print for the incoming seniors, like, this is the way things need to be done, this is the way things should be done, and that's what helps build culture. And once you get years and years and years of that, then you can help develop really, really good culture and things like that.
So Marion Harding is next. It was a very physical game a couple years up there. Last year it was a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Your touchdown pass late in the ball game, and they almost won it at the end. It's back and forth. So I know you're not overlooking anybody, even though they're 0-2. They played Mount Vernon tough, and I think Ashland was 14-6 last week. So obviously, you know, yes, you want to do some scouting, prepare for them, but is it more about what Newark does right now than necessarily the opponent?
I'll take that one. Defensively, our mantra is going to be bend, be sound, and just don't give up easy ones.
Mm-hmm.
They put us in a bind with their screen game and their empty sets with some pretty good athletes. So we're going to try to keep things overall simple and keep the ball in front of us and tackle. From the offensive standpoint, I've tried to set the tone. It hadn't happened yet, but there's going to come a time where we don't make the catches, and I'm trying to set the tone of when that happens, don't flinch. You know, we need to be ready to counterpunch, and you know, we might have to rely a little bit more on the running game. And really, it's the reason we haven't run the ball is the teams just have had seven hats in the box. And he had mentioned Tanner Taylor. He's just worked so well with Mike Capacci and Granger Evans and myself. We've tried hard to make every quadrant of the field, every area, remain constant. And we've set up a system where Steele is doing a nice job of the run-pass option. And so we just have to continue to, you know, trust our training and stick together and just keep doing what we do.
And Coach is right. There are going to be that moment. So, as the leader on the team, how do you keep the team positive when things may not be going the way you want them to?
Well, when we get back to the huddle, I mean, as soon as we get back to the huddle, it's you just got to get out of your mind. I mean, you can't go back and change that play. I mean, you can only make up from it. I mean, there's going to be times where bad things happen, and that's just the way life is, but it depends on how we react from it. And the coaching staff has put us through adversity in practice, and we've been through adversity in game situations, and that has helped us build and react to this adversity that's going to hit us. And I think as a leader, I have to keep it positive with them, but also keep it real. Like, you got to make the next play. Like, you know what I mean? You have to hold them accountable for dropping passes, and they're holding me accountable for missing throws. And that's just something as a group we've gotten better at throughout the summer.
So I started with this question, and it'll kind of be the last question back to that. After two big wins, how is the mentality? Because you don't want to get too high, mm-hmm. because there's so much left and so much you want to accomplish. But how do you feel the team has come down from each game and not letting that, I don't want to say get to the head,
right.
but just not say, hey, we're better than we thought we were.
Right. We have a 24 you know, we celebrate the win. That's great. But when we get there on Saturday, it's on the next week. And that's kind of been our motto the whole year. Well, these 2 weeks, I mean, it's great that we won, but what's next in store for us? I mean, we had a guy, Austin Rose, who Coach Franks told us he was walking into the locker room after the game, and Austin goes, what'd he say? On to the next.
Actually, as he's going to go ring the victory bell, he said, who's next?
Yeah,
you know, kind of like, let's turn the page
yep.
and let's keep it rolling.
And that's I think that's something that he said, but we all think that way. I mean, he's a big vocal leader, big vocal guy for us, and what he said is how we all are feeling. I mean, we got to keep moving on to the next one, but definitely also play with some confidence. I mean, we got two pretty good wins, and we're hoping to get a lot more. So,
as a fellow left-hander, it's been a joy watching you throw that ball, I got to tell you. I'm speaking of this as just a fan watching. To see you develop from your sophomore to your senior year, it's been a treat. And you've become a very fun player to watch. And again, your leadership, we notice it up in the press spots in a game like that. Well done. And
I appreciate it.
Coach, your leadership and tutelage awfully has played a role in that as well. And it's great to see this enthusiasm and momentum, not just within the program, but within the community, and we hope it just keeps going.
Oh, yeah, it's our community that we love, and it's just a great time to be a Newark Wildcat.
Thank you, guys. Good luck Friday night.
Thank you.
We'll be back with athletic director and men's basketball coach Jeff Quackenbush after this timeout, as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room on Gate 98.7.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville or online at lashleytractor.com.
Stop into the toy store and upgrade your ride with epic savings on Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. This is Jeff Ward, and now through September 30th, you can save on select Polaris Razor, Ranger, Sportsman, and General models, with financing options as low as 1.49% APR for qualified buyers. There's no better time to take home a Polaris off-road vehicle. Explore the impressive Polaris lineup during our Upgrade Your Ride sales event at the toy store. Polaris, think outside.
Terms and conditions apply. Not all will qualify for financing rates. See dealer for details. Driver must be at least 16 years old with a valid driver's license to operate.
Searching for a treasure? A special trading card? How about a video game? Buckeye Games and Flea Market is the place to visit. The video game and toy section will shock you. Visit the large flea market in the back, where you'll find many vendors. You're sure to find that special treasure. New items daily. Shop early for Christmas at Buckeye Games and Flea Market, 857 South 30th Street in Heath. Open 7 days a week.
All aboard! Stein Brewing Company in Newark is now Ship Brothers Brewing. Your cruise begins with a stop at the Beer Wall. Yes, Beer Wall! 36 taps lined up for you to tease your taste buds. Excite your palate with delectable, mouth-watering appetizers. And that's just the beginning. Our entrees swirl around the taste buds, sending messages of extreme pleasure to your brain. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
Now's the time to place your Varsity Jacket order. The earlier, the better. For more than 20 years, All-Star Embroidery in Newark has been Varsity Jacket headquarters for schools all over Licking County. Trust their experts to help you through the whole process, from sizing to application. All steps are handled in-house, which means faster turnaround and no surprise pricing. All-Star Embroidery, 21st Street in Newark, and online at allstarembroidery-ltd.com. allstarembroidery-ltd.com.
Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good doing it. Ferris commercial-grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Visit Wright Brothers Power today. Ferris. Work hard. Feel good.
We're back talking high school football with the Licking County Locker Room, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And happy to be joined now by Newark Athletic Director and Basketball Coach Jeff Quackenbush. And first, I wanted to talk about the atmosphere Friday night. We talked about it with Coach French and Steele. And as the AD, did you get a moment to let that sink in a little bit of just how raucous it was and how exciting that was?
We definitely enjoyed that atmosphere, and a lot of that atmosphere had to do with our new scoreboard, Matt Dunham, who's running that scoreboard, and our kids that are helping with that, whether it's the replays or any of the live feeds, images that are thrown up on the scoreboard. So I was glad the scoreboard worked, but it's all about the kids, and it was an amazing, amazing atmosphere. And I haven't seen the home stands that packed in a long time. So
they really were into it, and you could just kind of feel them rising with the team in that second half, and then I think helping them along to the victory. Because when Mount Vernon had that ball, when it was 28-28, it was tough for them because just of how loud that place got. And to have that hopefully continue, I think just it's really going to make these players feel good.
Absolutely. And you know, as a kid in Newark, you want to come to a game and watch and see that atmosphere, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever it is, that you want to be out on that field when you get a little older and are able to get into high school and do that. So it just motivates kids to want to play, and that's the whole goal.
But as an athletic director, you're there early, and you're watching the game, and I guess you almost have to anticipate something may not go wrong. And we had an issue with the play clocks there. So, you know, how are you always just kind of looking around to see, is everything doing what it should be doing?
You absolutely are. Home games, you don't get to watch much of the game. And we have a great group of people that help out with game. Baron Smith, our assistant athletic director, and a bunch of other volunteers that help. So I'm able to watch some of it, but you are always paying attention. You know, we had somebody, it got a little hot in the stands, and we had somebody go down and faint in the stands. So the medics had to take care of that lady. But so those are things you're kind of paying attention to. Away football games are great because you just get to go stand on the sideline and watch. But I was so happy with, and that was, again, the reason we bought that scoreboard and get corporate sponsors involved. I was so happy with, and we're just scratching the surface of what we're able to do with that. But you got kids out there competing. It's fun to watch.
And I got to tell you, folks, he does go sideline to sideline because I saw you helping back in the Mount Vernon buses.
Yes.
At the beginning. So you really do go from the home side to the visitor side, making sure everything is set the way it should be.
That's the goal.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Steele because he's been on your basketball program. What have you seen from him? How has he developed? Again, the athlete is one thing, but just the individual.
I think one word with Steele's maturity. Since this was during COVID when we were having workouts, and you had individual workouts in the gym when he was going to be a freshman. He's just grown and matured, but that's the fun thing about coaching. That's the fun thing about being in education as you watch these kids grow up. But he's a really mature kid. He's ready to lead the football team. He's ready to lead the basketball team, and he's ready to go to college and compete at that level too. But that takes it's not about skill. We talk about that a ton. It's not about skill. It's about maturity, setting goals, following through, work ethic, all of those things, and he's got it. And as you could tell from listening to him there, he's a really mature teenager for sure.
And there's probably not a challenge that you can't or Coach Franks can't throw it at him that he's going to at least want to take the opportunity to take it on.
Well, there's no doubt that Coach Franks and I are going to throw lots of different challenges at him. That's the fun part of it. But he's able, and you mentioned it when he was a sophomore. I mean, he took some hits, and he's just one of those kids now. He shakes it off and he moves on. He leads the team. And if you were, I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed when we were trying to get a stop. It was late in the game, and Steele was almost on the field with his white towel rooting him on. And some penalties happened, some things happened, and he kept that up. So great leadership, no doubt.
And there can be a fine line, and I don't care if it's football or basketball, where you push your teammates sometimes too hard. Because some of them may not be as engaged as he is. So have you noticed that with him, that he kind of knows how far he can take it with his teammates and so forth?
And I think all of us as kids, we learn from the guys that led us, right? And I think that's what Steele's done. He's let guys lead him when he was a younger player and learned from those guys, both in football and basketball. I don't know if he mentioned this because I couldn't hear some of it. He wants to get into education, and he wants to coach. And when I was his age, I was the same way. So you're always trying to learn from your teammates and experiences when your goal is to do this down the road.
And I've seen him also, just develop from a player that could play to now his body has changed immensely. I'm guessing he's not one that you have to check and see if he's doing the workouts that he should be doing.
Steele's definitely more motivated to be in shape and stay in shape than he ever was before, because now he notices the success he can have. But that's all part of the maturity level, both physically and mentally. So he's noticed that when he's a little lighter, he definitely is hard to guard in basketball, there's no doubt, but hard to tackle in football. He got out of some situations during the game. So super proud of him and looking forward. I know Billy is to continue the season with him, and then as it rolls into basketball, to coach him and the guys in basketball.
And speaking of Coach Franks, well, how have you seen him work with this group and develop? Because it is tough when you have small senior classes to keep the intensity and what you're trying to accomplish going there. I mean, I know that candle doesn't stop burning, but what have you seen from him?
I think Coach Franks and I learned from, the Haas Stars and the Gary Walters of it's a grind. And it's been a grind for him since he got here, and he's never changed. He was going to push kids. You're going to find him out there on Sundays at youth football when they're there from 10 a.m. till 6 o'clock at night, middle school games. It's a grind, and he's a coach. He's a high school coach. He loves the grind. That's the fun part about it. The winning is great, but I'm telling you, he's addicted to the grind. And that's what's got us to this point. He hasn't given in, and that's a huge thing. That's why we love that he's here, and he's put a staff together that's also getting used to the grind. And until you've done it, as you could hear, he has a cold and he's sick right now. A lot of that has to do with stress and lack of sleep, so it's just that time of year for him, no doubt.
But he'll take that for a couple of wins to start.
Absolutely.
Athletic director hat back on, I guess, for a bit here. People hate talking about realignments, especially at the college level with everything that's gone on. Looking at the OCC, my alma mater, Logan High School, is joining the OCC next year, and it's a mixed bag for a school like that. But where do you see leagues going, if you can, especially one as wide and deep as the OCC? Alignment, potential alignment, you mentioned every 4 years they get together to take a look at things. things. So is that just ADs from each school, or what is that committee like?
They have it represented depending on what division you're in. So Buckeye Division, Ohio Division, there's an athletic director and a principal from each of those divisions. I personally represent our division in that. So, but our division itself will add Taze Valley and Logan. We will also add Canal Winchester, and Central Crossing will go to another division. So we'll still have the Groveport, Reynoldsburg, Pick Central, Lancaster, and ourselves. I'm excited about it. I think it's all pretty much single school towns that do follow their teams. Logan and Taze Valley are a lot like Newark.
Yep.
Similar to the Mount Vernon game the other night. So you have big gates and kids get to play in front of a lot of people no matter what sport it is. So I'm really excited about it.
And Mount Vernon, which we talked about going to the LCL next year as well. So, yeah, I think it's tough to predict, but, you know, you've got the behemoth coming in with Intel to the western part of the county, and that could, I'm sure, maybe do some type of changes with divisions or things of that nature. But, you know, that's – so did the 4 years, is that now we're looking at 2027 or 2028?
Yeah, it'll start in the 24 school year and then go 4 years from there.
Okay.
And then there's been times where we've been in the same division for 8 years. So after 4 years, decided let's just keep this division. But when you put 34 schools in a room, sometimes it's hard to make a decision. So we're going to see. But we're definitely, for the next 4 years, going to be in that division.
And I think it has established rivalries in different sports. You know, I think, you know, from a basketball standpoint, you have some great matchups, which, whether you're in the same division or not, I mean, do you look at that moving forward saying, okay, let's just, if I picked an example, you know, with Lancaster, if one of you would go somewhere else, you'd still want to keep that rivalry.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, and that's happened once, and we definitely continue to play games in all sports. So, we like being in the same division with Lancaster, and they like the same also, to end the year with that game, no doubt.
So it'll be interesting to see what that transpires, and I'm sure Central Ohio just continues to grow, but it's going to give more opportunities. Again, looking at my alma mater, with Logan, hey, you've got at least something to play for.
Absolutely.
And to be an independent, I think, at the high school level, it's not like Notre Dame. It's very, very tough not to have something that you can shoot for, I would think, as a 15 to 18-year-old.
To hang a banner at your field or hang a banner in your gym. So, and they've been without a league for, it seems like, 10 years. I don't know the exact date, but that's great for those kids. And I think once their community gets involved with the OCC and see what we offer, I think they're going to like it.
A couple of other fall sports I wanted to hit on. The tennis team with a milestone on the girls' side this year, correct?
Yeah, they're 4-1 right now. They've lost one league opponent, and then we had to move a match because of the potential heat. And just like baseball and softball, we move it, and then it's 83 degrees that evening. So just another day the athletic director was wrong. So,
And I think they won a tournament at the beginning of the year for the first
Correct.
Time,
yep.
the Licking County tournament, I believe.
Yes.
I probably don't have it said right. But any other thoughts or fall sports you wanted to hit on?
All of our sports are really early on in their season. They're all a little bit 500 around that time frame. They haven't started much into their league play. Our golf team has. Mitch Boldy won a tournament in Pickerington, which was a huge tournament. They've placed second twice in their OCC matches. They play four of them, where all the teams in the division. So the golf program's off to a great start. Volleyball's 2-2. Boys and girls soccer are. Girls soccer's 1-1, had two losses and a tie. Boys soccer's had a few losses, really young team, but they've had a couple ties in there too. So all the kids are working hard. Cross country's ran in two meets so far. So, another month from now, we're going to have a better idea of where we stand in the league and those things. So, but we have a lot of coaches that work their tails off, not just during the season. They do it all year long. And it's a grind for them as much as it is Coach Franks, myself, and the sports that we play, or we coach. So, looking forward to the fall. It gets really busy this time of year, but it's fun to go out there and see the kids.
And I know I asked you this before, and I apologize, but I think it's still interesting to see how the participation is – recovering from the post-pandemic and kids feeling more comfortable coming back out? You still seeing that in regards to the numbers and so forth?
Yeah, we do. You know, and it's across the board, not just in North Ohio, but there's not as many kids that want to commit the time that you commit to play a sport. You know, right now we have a JV football team and we have a varsity football team. We don't have three levels, but the kids that are there are committed. There's no doubt. Our soccer team has just a varsity and not a JV, but it's all across Central Ohio. There's because kids have other things they enjoy to do too, and a lot of our kids in this community work, and to them that's important. My opinion, any teenager, as long as you're busy, no matter what you're doing, that's a good thing. It's the bad thing is being bored as a teenager. So we got a lot of kids involved in a lot of activities, and including band and orchestra and choir. So we're in a good spot right now, no doubt.
Multiple opportunities. Last question for you, let you go. What are we thinking about hoops?
Well, we got a lot of kids playing fall sports right now, there's no doubt, and helping other teams. We had a great summer. Steele got an offer from Findlay, and he's going to go compete at Findlay next year. So we're excited. We'll definitely miss our three seniors from last year, Tucker and Drew and Burke, who had great careers and were great kids for the program. So I know this. We'll show up. We'll play hard. Whatever happens after that happens, no doubt.
And I lied. I have one more question.
Sure.
Because I also wanted to talk about Mr. Shoemake, and just how much can that help a program when you see a guy that got a small school offer, then took the risk, and I think it is a risk, going to Toledo in the MAC school, and just had a tremendous season there, and now he's going to continue his career, I believe, overseas, if
yes,
that's right.
In Romania.
And had even a look at the NBA. So that's got to help with the tradition and just some kids who might be, well, I wonder if this could work out for me. Yeah, it's still a long shot, but there's a shot.
The greatest thing about JT is he was a late bloomer. He was a kid that wasn't the fastest kid as a freshman, started to grow a little bit as a sophomore, competed some at the varsity level as a sophomore, and then as a junior, watch out. And then when he was a senior, he was really good, but just continued to grow and mature physically, mentally as he got into college. The other great thing about him, he's so humble. And he'll, you know, come in the gym and pop by and, hey, coach, can I shoot? You don't have to ask me. You've earned the chance to shoot anytime you want. So we're all super proud of him. And he represents all of us, the community and the program so well.
Coach, appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That'll wrap up this edition of the Licking County Locker Room for this Monday. Want to remind you, Friday night, we'll have the Heath Bulldogs and Creston Norwayne from Swain Field. Kickoff at 7, pregame at 6:45. And next Tuesday night, because of Labor Day, we'll be here on the Licking County Locker Room from Ship Brothers Brewing. We will be featuring the Newark Catholic Green Wave next Tuesday at 6:30. So that'll do it for this Monday. I'm Brian Mays. Have a great evening, everyone. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room on Gate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Cape 98.7. Each week, we feature a local high school from Licking County. Brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All-Star Embroidery, Pew's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Tune in next week to the Licking County Locker Room here on Cape 98.7.